far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's our Fantastic Four review with John and Daff.
The mic. I'm using my laptop's mic.
Oh, I thought you got a new one or something.
Well, I haven't tested Skype with my new laptop.
Oh, all right.
Does it sound normal or does it sound slightly?
It's fine.
Workable? All right. The first thing I'm going to fucking buy when I get a big boy job is I'm getting a real mic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I want to, my friends do some podcasting too, so, or like, they want to do podcasting stuff, so I'll probably join in on that.
Didn't you record some seasonal anime recordings with them or something?
Yeah, but we use my friend's mic, and that friend's in South Korea now for military shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, less accessible now.
Yeah. So, I guess we can talk about Fantastic Four while we wait for Zionic to get on.
Oh, he didn't want to talk about Fantastic Four?
He didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh my god. AIM keeps fucking disconnecting me for no reason.
Oh. He wants to talk about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie and I don't really have a ton of input for it. Okay,
yeah.
So when you added me, it worked fine. But when I tried adding myself, oh, you added my Ever account.
I added Raven.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a ton to, I don't have anything to say about the movie itself for
okay.
Dragon Ball Z, but I was gonna bring up some shit. Like, it's been getting a lot of, media
money.
Play. Like, it's been on a lot of the trade websites.
Because
yeah. It's technically an independent film.
Yeah, it's been doing, I mean, it was really packed when I was there. Like, with Battle of Gods, it was sold out, and, the theater I went to was the last one in the valley that hadn't sold out of tickets, but it had by the time I, by the time of the actual showing.
That's fucking right.
Yeah, and there was only one showing in Maricopa County last time for Battle of Gods. This one, it was playing like twice a night for 10 nights or whatever, so it had a whole lot more showings than last time, and it shows in the box office returns too, because I think it eventually outperformed Pixels in the week that it was out.
Yeah, I think it did, actually.
Which is great that Dragon Ball Z is more popular than Adam Sandler.
No, it was, just close.
Oh, was it, fifth place?
It was
looking
like 50,000.
With that, how much?
50,000.
Oh, well, still, I mean,
yeah,
not,
I mean,
not bad for being in so much less theaters than Pixels. Did you see what Cloud posted in the chat, that he watched this new Linkara Power Rangers Samurai thing?
I heard him say it was a rant.
Oh, well, earlier he said that Power Rangers Samurai is less sophisticated than Steven Universe. And here are the other things he said during it. Linkara's raging and screaming his head off over the Rangers not getting a choice over being a Samurai Ranger. He's like, I've been saving this rant for 4 years. Why do these families do this? Why? For all the talk he does about mythos and lore, if he at least looked over the samurai lineage, he wouldn't do this. That's what Cloud said.
if Cloud's fucking trashing him, it must be really bad.
And then he says, only on video one, and he's really tripping over the Sentai stuff, lol. So I think he must not really watch the Sentai. I think he only has watched the one that Shop put out. And Cloud is like an expert.
He's been reviewing Sentai for his Patreon.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, that's one of his Patreon perks is he'll start reviewing Sentai.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, he can only do so many Power Rangers reviews since he only has a few more seasons left.
Right. He's on this new Saban season. I didn't see Samurai, but I did watch Megaforce and Super Megaforce because it was, like, the anniversary season. And that was truly awful.
Like, with Steven Universe and Gravity Falls and things like that, there's, like, those shows work on two levels. Like, there's genuine humor. There's references to pop culture stuff that the younger set won't get. Like, it's put there for the older set. So, like, you can justify – and, like, they're very high quality. So you can justify, like, an adult watching Gravity Falls and, like, the Tumblr idiots on Steven Universe. But with Power Rangers, there's just nothing there.
Yeah, the only level Power Rangers works on is just to laugh at how bad the special effects are, at least for me.
Yeah, like, the CGI is so atrocious.
Yeah, that's the only thing I find is enjoyable about it is how hideous the monsters are and the really bad attempts to adapt to modern CGI. It's just amazing how poorly they've adapted to the year that it's 2015, and the writing has not improved any since the seasons that were on Fox Kids when I was a kid, and I thought the writing was bad then as a kid, and it has not gotten any better at all.
See, like, I tease you and CG for watching the toyetic anime, but at least that shit, you can look at it, and it isn't eye gouging. Like, yeah. Most of the Power Ranger stuff, like between the rubber costumes and the god awful CGI, it's just eye cancer.
Does Linkara like it, like genuinely, or is it like a guilty pleasure for him, or what?
No, I think he does, and no, he really enjoys Mighty Morphin, so he gets upset by the later seasons.
Oh.
And then he probably gets upset that they objectify women and shit like...
Well, it seems like he's going on some issue about them not consenting to be Power Rangers or something. Like, maybe, I don't know, he's probably inserted some feminist narrative here or something. Like when people were upset about how Ryuko got forced to wear the clothes at the start of Kill la Kill or whatever, maybe it's something like that.
It probably is something stupid. I don't know. I'm sorry that the TV show didn't think of that. They're too busy trying to design the toys that they're going to sell to the 10-year-olds.
At least with the way it is now, they put out so few episodes that they can skip the seasons where they bungle it totally in Japan because they skip every other season.
Oh, really?
Like, there's this.
Can you still hear me, by the way? Can you hear me well enough?
There's this train season that had this really hideous design that they seem to they're going to skip over.
Wait for that.
It was like amazingly bad.
Oh, we never did a summary anime review either. We should do that sometime.
Yeah, we do need to do that. So, which series? I'm sure I've asked this before, but which ones have you been enjoying so far? Which ones should I watch?
So
is
the only
God Eater good.
The which one?
God Eater.
It's improving. It's like I wouldn't outright recommend it. Like you should watch the first episode just because the art style is so weird. Like it's weird in a good way, but weird in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's like the art style is bar none one of the best like 2D designs I've ever seen in an anime. But at the same time, I think because of how the art style looks, I think they have like there's fewer frames per second. So it just looks like it's, like, delayed all the time with the animation.
Weird.
So it's just, it's very jarring. The first episode, the plot was complete garbage, like, introing the whole thing, but they've kind of made it less stereotypical over time.
Yeah.
So I would say it's worth at least giving a shot. I'm actually predictably behind on everything because I'm still working on my summer class.
Wow.
But I'm caught up on – actually, no. I'm only caught up on Durura and Gangsta. Like, you should be watching Gangsta.
Oh, did they put out more episodes, the subgroup that you were waiting on?
No, they dropped it. I forget why they did. There's a couple bullshit reasons. But I'm just watching a horrible sub-series, and it's fine.
The main new season I've been watching is Super, of course. Have you seen the controversy over episode 5's animation?
No, I know CG was babbling about it.
Yeah, well, basically what happened is the fight between Beerus and Goku, which they are readapting from Battle of Gods in the new series, has...
So, wait, they're redoing the battle?
Right. The whole Battle of Gods movie is, like, getting retold in a different like location. For some reason, Bulma's birthday party's in a different location, and they've like stretched it out by having Beerus destroy some more planets first, and had some random like one-shot comedic episodes similar to the driving test episode kind of thing from DC first. But now they've actually started getting into the battle with Beerus again, and it's just the same battle from the movie, except with horrible animation. Somebody asked me after the Resurrection F movie, you know, I went to the bathroom and everyone was talking about Dragon Ball Z in there, and they were like, hey, when is this new series take place? They thought it was before Boo, and I had to explain it's after. And then they were like, okay, well, what is it, like original story? And I said, no, it's just a remake of Battle of Gods with shitty animation. And they're like, oh, why did they bother? Like, I don't quite get what the deal is with why they decided to just tell the same story again, except with this animation that's, like, all the frames from this scene have become memes, because there are like several dozen frames of in-between animation where Goku's face is totally undetailed or off-model. And I saw a meme where they like put it next to some Sonic low quality flash Sonic animation or deviant art stuff or something, and it looked about like the same quality. And so it's like there's this controversy over whether Toei will even improve it for the Blu-rays or not.
Probably not, honestly.
Yeah, some people are saying they're going to think it's just a kids' show. Why bother? But they have redrawn Sailor Moon Crystal for the Blu-rays because of how negative the reaction is to the online releases of it. So maybe they will do that with Super, maybe not. Who knows?
But, I mean, you know, I mean, that's going to sell.
Yeah. Well, what's bizarre is that Funimation is taking so long to announce anything about the final chapters of Dragon Ball Z Kai with Majin Buu, as well as Super. They haven't announced licensing either one.
Well, who? Did Crystal get licensed in the U.S.?
Yes. Viz has, I think, released some episodes of it dubbed on Neon Alley.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's already dubbed and everything?
Well, it's only just finished in Japan, the first season anyway. And I think, like, right around the time it was ending, they started, like maybe a week or two before it ended, they started releasing dubbed episodes.
Was that 26 or 52 episodes?
Well, it was 26 episodes, but because
it was every week.
Yeah, and it was not on the third week if there were three Saturdays in a month. So it took 13 months to air. So it took quite a while, and the animation was still, you know, universally despised on the internet, with like Tumblr's devoted entirely to screen capping animation errors.
You were CG posted.
Yeah, CG was really critical of the animation of that and of Super, because he's the sort of person who likes to, you know, freeze frame every shot and post them on Twitter and criticize them like that Pancake guy does as well. Although Pancake was actually defending the Super animation. He was like, this is not that much worse than normal anime animation. Which is a sad but true statement.
By person who is looking into detail, you mean autistic, but that's okay.
Yes, of course. That's why they're into it so much. Yes.
Oh, man. Apparently, they have pictures of Luke Skywalker's costume.
Oh, Viku just posted that while you were disconnected. Yeah, but the movie at least had somewhat better animation than the series has had. I mean, both of the movies look passable.
I'm just surprised how cheap of a budget the Battle of the Resurrection F. I keep forgetting which one's which. Resurrection F was made on a $5 million budget.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I didn't know, but
well, that's what they're claiming, which, like, budget. I'm pretty sure Redline was more. Like, $5 million just sounds really low.
Well, I mean, it is Toei. They don't usually spend very much, but they still get a lot of money out of it because their series are usually the biggest ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Google's telling me it's 26. Oh, wait, no, that's not the right red line. Fuck me. That's just so high. Even a Miyazaki film is like, well, we can't compare it to Miyazaki, but.
Oh, well, definitely not. I mean, this
really
is
just
it isn't anything like Miyazaki or anything like that. But
I've seen a handful of episodes of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Like, I vaguely know the story. I don't have enough attachment to it, as most of you guys do. But just $5 million just sounds so fucking low, and especially like considering how much money they make off it.
Well, the action scenes seemed fluid enough, and the one weird thing was I think there were some moments in the battle with Goku and Frieza where they had CGI models for them, which was sort of odd because it looked like you were watching a video game.
Gross.
But overall, I thought the animation was a lot better than Super's has been, at least. And, I mean, it was just enjoyable. There was a trivia thing that they aired before the movie. For some reason, they had, like, the voice actresses and voice actors answering questions about Dragon Ball Z. And it was... I don't know if they were, like, being given the answers or what, because most of the time they would say something wrong, and then they would be like, oh, wait, maybe it's this. I don't know if they're trying to make it seem like the questions were more challenging or what, but usually they ended up getting them right at the end. But there were some characters, some actors who clearly didn't really know anything about the series that would get every question wrong, though.
Well, that's pretty funny.
I think a lot of those guys don't actually watch the series. It's just a job for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not particularly surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there was the, you know, that autistic guy Dogasu who does the Pokemon comparisons or whatever. He put some rant on one of this where he was ranting about the Charmander voice actor didn't know he was going to be a regular character or something. And he was like, how could he have not watched the episode and understood that Charmander was going to be in every episode? What a fucking idiot. And he like went on this big tirade about how this show's poor kids has no respect for anime and everything.
Do you think, like, I doubt Pokemon was even subbed at that when they were dubbing it.
What's bizarre is that Pokemon is still not subbed at those early episodes. For some reason, no one has ever subbed Kanto, even though so many people hate the 4Kids dub.
That's surprising.
I mean, there are some episodes that are subbed, like the Porygon episode and the Jinx episode.
Yeah, I have
episode.
Two different reps of that.
Yeah, but like there are a lot of episodes that are not subbed for some bizarre reason. I think that they're just too busy trying to keep up the main Pokemon subbing group with the current releases still airing every week. Mm-hmm. Don't have time to go back and do the early episodes.
Yeah, you think there would be some autismo who had the ability to do that, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to talk about Fantastic Four?
Yeah, let me get my live blog up ready to go.
Oh, all your Facebook comments? Yeah, I read those on Saturday night when you posted it.
Yeah, I went to town. Like, even afterwards, like, my friend and I talked for over an hour afterwards.
Yeah. There were some weird things in there, like, you noted, like, when they called when the Human Torch called Dr. Doom Adolf, and when he called him Borat, what was that about?
I think I at least get the Borat reference.
Well, like, did he say something anti-Semitic or something? Or, like, what?
Well, do you know which studio released Borat?
Is it Fox?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, I assume that he was, like, accusing him of being anti-Semitic by calling him Hitler and Borat since the Holocaust and throw the Jew down the well. But, like, what did he do that, like, added that character's trait, you know? He never really... He just seemed like he hated people in general, not, like, Jews.
Yeah. Well, he was, like, in the original edit, he was, like, a cyber hacker or some shit.
Oh, maybe he is modeled after, what's his name, Weave or whatever, the, like, anti-Semitic hacker.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. All right, let me just read up a couple of questions I wanted to bring up. Like, good discussion points.
I guess the joke is that people who use the internet a lot are anti-Semites. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably some truth in that.
It doesn't just insult everyone. It's just all baseless threats that no one actually means.
Yeah. What was he playing in the first scene where they introduced him? This is some video game or something, right?
Yeah, I think he was playing a knockoff of GTA.
Oh, okay. Do you notice the Nintendo 64s in one of the early scenes?
Oh, no, that's awful, though.
They, like, were using a bunch of N64s to power the teleportation device in the Kid Reed and Kid Ben scene at the start.
Oh, actually, I vaguely remember that, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, Cloud wants on the recording.
Yeah, that's going to be terrible.
Should I add him?
Yeah, may as well. Even though it's just going to be static.
All right.
Hold on. I'm trying to find. There was this really good topic I was reading on 4chan earlier about Fantastic Four. It was yesterday, but I'm hoping it'll still be up somewhere because I had a bunch of comments.
Is that the one where the director supposedly posted?
No, not that. But that is pretty good too.
Yeah, I want you to mention that stuff on the on this because I didn't read the thread because it looked hella long and I was like, I don't really care that much about this movie.
there was a few. Apparently he posted like months ago.
Oh really? Like before it even came out he was shitting on his own film?
Yeah, no, it was weird.
I wonder if he was like actively trying to sabotage this movie.
I don't know. Well, that's one of my discussion points I wanted to bring up.
I just don't understand the strategy that they had with this film. Like, why did they change it so much from his original plot or whatever?
Well, it's simple. I think it's pretty simple. A David Cronenberg superhero movie would have terrified the fuck out of mainstream America. So they tried to make it. Fox tried to make it on Marvel, failed.
Well, like, there was already the stuff where they were getting tortured or whatever, wasn't there? So what more body horror could they have included? That's what I don't get. If that's their strategy, they didn't actually. And it's worth noting that the people in my theater were laughing at those scenes.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
So it wasn't really that horrifying. It was just lame. Especially the scene with Reed. Every time Reed stretched, the people in my theater started cracking up.
I didn't think that was that bad.
Really?
No, I didn't think the effect was that bad. I was just like, he barely stretched at all. Well, the Fantastic Four barely used their fucking powers.
It did look pretty stupid when he did it, though. I mean, I don't know how you make that look good in live action, though. The Fantastic Four are the cartooniest. I mean, they're such cartoony characters, comic book characters. I just don't think they can work in live action. They've done it 4 times, and every time, people shit all over it. The best ones are the ones from the 2000s, but even those have problems.
Yeah, well, that's where, like now tie into one of my discussion points I'm wanting up.
It's like enough is enough with the amount of superhero movies they're producing. I'm going to keep seeing them all, probably, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't complain.
You're right, but some of these do not need to be movies. Like, I really do not think Deadpool is going to be very good based on that trailer. They've been making that movie for 10 years or something. I remember hearing about it when I saw X-Men Origins with my friends from Harmony, and I think that was 10th grade. And it's like movies that take that long usually do not end up working that well because they've been rewritten half a dozen times.
I'll see. I'm trying to look through my history of this one.
On the trailer, every single joke was just about how ugly Deadpool was. Like, I didn't think there was really anything all that funny about the trailer.
Oh, wow. Does this list just keep crashing?
Are you trying to load the 4chan thing? Or?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to find it. I have this, add-on that's supposed to, like, make history search be more functional. But instead, it just didn't show it.
Oh.
So that's annoying. I think it just kept crashing. So, I have a lot of my results missing. So, I couldn't find it. But I was trying to find, it listed a bunch of, the scenes. I'm going to try. Give me, one more minute to find this. Because, did you, it had some really good detail. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I haven't really read much about the backstory of this. I mean, I saw, a few reviews, but...
I didn't know about any of this backstory stuff until really last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody, it seemed like, had low expectations going into this because of the review embargo. I think whenever they do that, it indicates that to everyone that no one has any confidence in the movie at the studio, and then everyone goes in expecting it to suck, and they're not going to enjoy it, you know? All right, I'm not going to load this, though, because my computer usually can't handle Chrome running while I'm recording.
Okay, the main thing that's listed, or that of note that's in that link I posted, is there's a scene in the movie that they cut that involves the Fantastic Car.
Oh, really?
It involves a car, yeah.
Didn't they, mention that at the start? They said the guy in Reed's classroom said something like, the teacher said something like, "Are you still working on that flying car?" And then Reed said, "No, I've stopped working on that in favor of the teleportation device."
Oh, you know what? Maybe they did.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a dig at the comic books, haha, that's so lame, flying cars, but flying flaming people and people made out of rocks and stretching people and invisible people, that's all real realist and modern.
This is what I wanted. There we go. I found what I wanted.
The 4chan thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
This lists, like, a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff that I didn't know about. So that's the first post. The second post is a bunch of scenes.
Okay, should we, like, read this stuff out, or...?
No, I think it's just worth... we can reference it just for, like, stuff behind the scenes.
What are the highlights from this? There's, like, a huge wall of text that I don't want to read right now.
Yeah, so Annihilus was initially in the movie, but he got cut because budget...
Okay, well, that makes sense, because it did seem like they were in the negative zone, and that's where they got their powers.
Yeah.
But they called it, like, what did they call it, Planet X or something instead?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know who Annihilus is.
Well, he's, like, this guy who is in the negative zone, and he's, like, this big green and purple bug creature that, like, has antimatter powers or something. But he is, like, really weird, and I don't... think, yeah, that they would have had the budget to make some strange CGI monster like him with a bunch of, you know, high-tech powers. Or
no.
I mean, they had Dr. Doom basically doing the kind of thing Annihilus would have done, where he was, I guess, going to, like, flood Earth with particles from the other universe and destroy it or something. I guess that was his plan, right? Something like that. I don't know why exactly he...
Doom doesn't even, like, there's no arc with Doom. Like, Doom has no reason for... He just does it because he can.
Well, I thought it was because he's a gamer gator and he's upset that women won't suck his dick.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, that is what this is supposed to be a take on, right? He's like, feels entitled to sue, and then he throws a tantrum, and he's like... There could have been a future for me with you. And then he, like, is pissed off when Sue is laughing with Reed. Like, he...
Well, see, but that's, like, that barely...
Right, it's like, in there, like, two or three lines.
Reed doesn't really...
Yeah, it's only, like, two or three lines where this is indicated. Well, there's also where he's like, oh, will Sue be working on the project or something? Like, as part of getting back to the... But he never, like, really confronts Reed over it or anything like you would expect if they... We're trying to actually have, a full romantic subplot or fully developed motives. I think the core problem with this movie is the complete lack of thorough characterization.
Do we want to officially start recording now?
Oh, I've been recording the whole time.
Yeah, I know, but do we want to, like, have a set cut point for Zionic to start recording?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Zionic, record now. Start cutting now.
All right, he'll probably put the first half at the end or something weird like he usually does.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, the welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast review of Fantastic Four and Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. And with me on this segment for Fantastic Four is Daft Punk Fan 37.
Yo!
And we're going to be reviewing the most hated movie of the summer, which got even worse reviews than Pixels and Vacation, Fantastic Four, which has been a total box office flop, only made about $25 million the first weekend.
You got to give The Last Airbender credit, even though it has an even lower Rotten Tomatoes score than Fantastic Four. It's still more likely. I think that actually reached a profit, or at least broke even, while this Fantastic Four movie basically has no shot.
Yeah. Well, do you think it'll do well internationally? Can people tell, like, the quality enough that, I mean...
Well, it depends on the marketing. A big thing to note about worldwide gross is, I mean, to begin with, the movie studios only get about 50 cents on the dollar on every dollar that it makes in America, mm-hmm. because about 50% of that money goes to the theater.
Yeah, of course.
So internationally, that money is even less that goes to the distributor.
Because of, like, taxes and tariffs and stuff.
Yeah, and, like, for example, in China, the distributor of the film only gets 25% because China just snatches. They just have all their bullshit.
They won't do that anymore when Donald Trump is president.
Exactly. Very true. Well, we won't get any more Mexican films either. But I don't think we're going to be missing much from that.
There'll be a telenovela embargo.
No
Tierra. Soap opera protectionism.
Exactly. But yeah, honestly, considering how atrocious the domestic, like, it's probably not even going to approach, it'll be very lucky if it approaches 75 million. Yeah, it's only at 32 million right now. It's very unlikely it'll even reach its budget.
What was the budget total for this?
150.
Oh, that's insane.
So, and that number speculative, that number is based off of the reshoots as well, to my understanding, because they were going to spend about $20 million to do this movie in 3D, but they had, but they couldn't spend that money because they had to spend all that money on reshooting the movie.
So I wonder if it was worse or better before all the reshooting.
Yeah, I think this is, I think that's a very interesting point that I kind of want to touch upon at the end of this. Does, like, do we think, what was Trank's vision of a, the director Trank's vision of a David Cronenberg-esque superhero movie, like, could that have been good on a big budget level at a PG-13 rating, and would it have been able to decently represent the Fantastic Four characters that are mostly a more comedic, wholesome, like, superhero group in comparison to something gritty or fucked up like a Cronenberg? Like, versus this weird mismatch where we have, like, elements of, like, a fucked up horror movie mixed with, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe elements with just generic slop.
Yeah. I don't know if this could have been done well, even if he had been not interfered with by the studio.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, John, what do you think is the worst part about this movie? There are many aspects you can complain about this film, but if you had to point out one singular thing, what would it be?
Well, I mean, the action is very pathetic for one of these high-budget Hollywood movies, and the story is mostly just boring, and the characters are not, you know, their motives are not fully explained. Like, for example, why are the Fantastic Four so pissed off at Reed after he escapes, when they all seem, like, Sue, for instance, she seems like she doesn't want to participate in this. Like, when Johnny comes into the room after she's been invisible up in a ball or whatever, and then she's like, oh, I don't want to be used as a weapon by the military. But the Human Torch and the Thing seem really enthusiastic about it, because the Thing has killed, like, 40 people for the military, and the Human Torch is, like, flying around, blowing up drones, and he's like, this is my life's purpose, I have meaning now, because I work for the military, and I can turn into flames, and I'm so great now. But then at the end, they suddenly, they're, like, turning on the military, and they're like, we're not gonna let you push us around, you better give us a building, and then they get a building, and then they're satisfied, I guess, and now they're working for the military because they got their own building in the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't understand how that was supposed to be a good ending.
Yeah, like, to me, the worst thing about this film, I mean, like, picking something a little bit more in-depth than just characterization, I think the motivation for each character makes no sense. Like, it's either inconsistent, or, like, in their actions are inconsistent, or there's just, like, there's just no motivation at all.
Well, I mean, the characters make decisions while they're drunk, and obviously the people who wrote this were, too.
Like, I watched this, so when I saw this movie, we went out to a 9:45 screening, and we went to the RPX, which for Regal Cinema, that's, like, basically their version of IMAX. Like, it's an upcharge, but my friend works for the theater, and he got both of us in for free. But, so we went in.
And there was one person, right?
There was one person in a 400 to 500 person room. There was only one other person there. I think, like, a couple snuck in midway through, like, their other movie got out and they, like, just snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was no one there.
Like, well, it was reasonably
full. This is a Friday night, Saturday night.
I saw it on Monday morning at 10:20 and it was reasonably full there, but it was mostly old people.
Yeah, it's just, like, the other guy was silent, but my friend and I were just laughing for the entire thing. Like, it was just like I had to keep covering my mouth because I didn't want to offend all the other person there. It's ridiculous.
What did he think? Did you talk to the other person?
No, I was hoping he didn't get too upset at us because we were both talking fairly loudly, so I was hoping I didn't ruin the experience for him.
when I left the movie, there was this guy who was behind me who got on his cell phone right away and started trashing the movie. He was like, I'd rather watch the movies with Jessica Alba 100 times than watch this shit again because this was terrible. It was the worst thing I ever saw.
Yeah, my friend who I went to the movie with, we drove back to his place and we just walked around for a bit just continuing to trash on the movie. Like, we couldn't help ourselves. Eventually he got too tired, so I drove and picked up my friend to go get some food, I picked up my roommate and got some food. And again, I was just like, he wasn't there, and I was just explaining him like all these terrible elements in the film. And I spent a full hour talking to him about it, and I still hadn't really touched upon every like more than 50% of the movie just because of how many terrible elements there are in it. And then I was like, and then when I got back, I was in the chat talking to you guys, just saying how terrible it was. It's just such an incoherent mess. Like, I was watching the Red Letter Media review, and they didn't totally trash it, and I was really surprised because it legitimately is as bad as the Rotten Tomatoes reviews say and more. There's virtually nothing redeemable about this.
Well, one thing I was surprised by was some of the reviews seem to think that the early part of the movie is not bad, and that it only gets bad once they go to another dimension.
Like, the worst part of a movie is by far the last 15 minutes. I definitely agree with that. The final fight scene and the cringeworthy, hey, what should we call ourselves scene? Scenes are the worst scenes in the film. But the beginning half hour is totally awful.
It was very boring. I mean,
characters disappear?
Why did they take so long to introduce the Human Torch? And why
Do you know how long it takes? I roughly timed it out. Do you
20
know how
minutes,
long it fucking
right?
takes? 21 minutes.
Yeah.
And 21 minutes is roughly the amount of time that in between the science fair and, hey, let's get drunk and operate a teleportation device. That's roughly, actually, it's probably more than 20 minutes that the thing is gone.
Oh, the thing, yeah, he totally disappears after a bit, after Reed moves, and then Reed is like, hey, dude, you want to go to another dimension? And he's like, yeah, man, good idea. After
we started
he argues.
This together, finish it together.
Yeah, and then the thing becomes like a horrific pile of rocks because this drunken asshole Reed Richards.
So yeah, I think let's just try and go through like a loose chronological decimation of this film.
Okay.
I think it's a good way to describe it. So the opening scene is it's like Reed Richards in 2007. He's like a 10-year-old. And Homer Simpson is like telling all the kids to go up to the front of the class and say what you want to do with your life. And just Reed Richards comes up and is just like, I want to build a teleportation device or be super smart or something. And then just everyone just laughs at him.
Wasn't he like hard to get to? Like he was drawing in his book or writing notes or something? Like the really cliche scene where he's stuck in his own head.
Yeah, he's a socially awkward kid. Let's make fun of him.
Yeah, I felt that scene was way over the top, everything about it. Yeah. And the teacher's like, you're not being realistic. Like, it's real obvious what they're going for with this.
Yeah, also of note, the title, there is no title sequence at the beginning. In fact, there is no title sequence at all.
Well, the last part of the movie, they finally show Fantastic Four.
Did they show the title at the end?
After they argue, like, what are we going to call ourselves? Then finally, after that, they flash Fantastic Four on the screen. And that was like supposed to be like the punchline to the movie, but the whole film is a punchline.
Yeah. Fucking brutal. So then it fucking skips to 10-year-old Reed Richards digging through a junkyard where that's owned by the Thing's family. And then he just like, they get this part, he gets a part from the Thing, and then they go to his house where they're trying the teleportation device, and then Reed Richards' stepdad, who is Tim from Tim and Eric, just tells him to quiet down.
Yeah.
And they, like, blow out the electricity. Like, it kind of – did you see Tomorrowland?
No.
It kind of has elements from that where it's, like, the future is out there, and, like, the young are, like, the future, stuff like that, except just really shoddily done. It's just really lazy and poorly done. And then, yeah, I, like – They establish that Reed nor Ben come from traditional households, which is whatever. Like, if you're, like, which is fine, but if you're gonna do that, at least try and, like, make it worthwhile beyond, like, a, hey, we want to represent everyone kind of deal. Like, it just seems shoehorned in because the market research told them to do so. So then they skip to high school where he builds a transportation device for a fucking science fair. He's able to largely successfully pull it off, but the teachers and professors all laugh at him and say they laugh and or are mad because they thought he pulled a magic trick or something.
Yeah, because this scene is horrible in several ways. So first off, they show up and suddenly the actors are a lot older And they don't
I
say,
didn't realize that was like the main, I didn't realize that was Miles Teller in that scene.
Yeah, so suddenly they've jumped to some unspecified point in the future. How old are they supposed to be? Like 18? I don't even know. They don't say, do they?
No, they never do. It's presumed early college.
But yeah, I mean, the for me, I associate it with high school because I had to do science fair in high school. And I had to, like, whatever. But I guess they could do science fair in college too, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, that was in high school. I thought you meant during the time. During, like, the main part of the movie.
Okay. Well, yeah. So is that, that's when they switched to the main actor for Reed, though, right? Is the high school scene, right?
What?
When they do the science fair, that's the first scene with the main actor for Reed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have the same actors, high school and college Reed.
Yes.
And it's just kid Reed who's different. Well then it just seems really poorly conveyed how time passes in this movie. Because after this, he gets a job with the... Well, I guess I should talk about what more is awful about this scene.
Yeah, haven't finished this.
Ben forgot to bring the model car, and they don't explain why he didn't bring it.
It's like, oh, I forgot.
I don't know if they're
like,
just trying to make Ben seem
clumsy or shitty.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to make him stupid or something. But
yeah, this is one of many scenes that elaborates that Ben Grimm is Reed Richards' bitch. Ben Grimm is not, like... He has no personality. He just, like, does what other people tell him to do.
He's just a total lunkhead who does whatever he's told. It's funny.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, I think they tried to do the angle that, like, he's, like, damaged or, like, he just can't think for himself because he comes from an abusive household or something, which, oh, we forgot to mention that the first use of it's clobbering time is from his older brother hitting him over the side of the head saying it's clobbering time.
Yeah, I think Ben was, like, brain damaged by his brother, and his mother was also, like, beating up his brother. So, like, I think everyone in his family was, like, beating the shit out of him or something. And so he's got a screw loose or something. But he's just a terrible character. But anyway, after that, they grab this kid's airplane and they send it into the Sahara Desert. And then it comes back, and it's, like, damaged by it and covered in sand. And then he, like, apologizes to the kid, and the kid's like, you're an asshole. And then also when it came back, the basketball hoop was broken because of the teleportation, I guess, causes sonic boom or something. I don't know. And they, like, make Reed pay for the basketball hoop, and... they expel him from the science fair, but then the Storm family notices him.
Okay, so now, why was the Storm family there?
That is not really explained.
My friend thinks that they somehow figured out that Reed was, like, behind all these weird anomalies and was able to teleport stuff, so they tracked him down, but the movie never says that. You're just supposed to infer that.
Well, when I went to high school science fair, there were, like, university professors there and stuff, and I assume that they were working at a university, right?
Yeah, well, they work for a foundation.
Oh, foundation, okay.
Yeah, well, it's like the corporation, the Baxter Corporation owns this, like, giant, like, they have, like, a foundation where they do, like, these wacky science projects.
Okay, yeah, because it's not really clear, like, how all these people know about each other. They just kind of show up. Like, when the military later comes in, it's not explained why Franklin told them about this research if he didn't want them to use it.
Yeah, like it's just so weird that they just give so little detail. Like, you're just supposed to accept that they show up and, like, they recognize Reed.
And it's also not really explained why after they hire Reed and then Ben, like, stays behind or whatever in upstate... it's not really explained why they want Victor back on this when they say that Victor had burned down the building previously.
Yeah, like, Victor's just, like, yeah, they just described, like, he was on the project and he was taken off, and so they kind of, like, that's why Doom hates Reed, is because Reed took over his project.
And it took his woman.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, they, like, you're supposed to think, like, all these things, but none of them are really well developed.
Yeah, I mean, Doom is never given, like, more than that first scene to himself. Every other scene after he's playing video games he's just like hanging around saying
he's
some dickish thing
for no reason.
Yeah, he comes across as being like NIV or something. He's just like a terrible person, and that's like all there is to him. Like he's not a super villain.
On one of those monitors, he had child pornography too.
Probably.
But yeah. So one thing I want to know also, well, two things I want to note. They reference the science fair like numerous times. Like they'd be like, this isn't a science fair or something like that. That gets referenced at least four times.
Really?
Each part's like, not specifically that science fair, but just a science fair. And each time it is not funny. It gets even less funnier each time.
I didn't notice that.
They make like all these really terrible jokes. Like, they're not even clever, like, in the MCU. Like, MCU makes cringe jokes, but at least they're generally clever. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. And then the other thing I want to bring up is, they bring in Franklin Storm, who's Sue's father. And he's, like, honestly, I think Franklin Storm appears in the movie more than the Human Torch or the Thing does. Yes. Like, I really want someone to go in with a stopwatch and watch this movie and just clock the amount of time each character is on the screen, and I'm pretty sure Franklin Storm would be on the screen for the second most amount.
After Reed?
Yeah, despite getting killed off two-thirds through the movie. I'm pretty sure he appears in, like, the large majority of the early...
Yeah, he is in, he's in the first scene at the science fair with Reed, then he's in the scene with Victor, and then he's in scenes with his son, and I think there's probably one with his daughter. There's a scene where they finish the project or whatever before they get drunk. And he's in the scene where he's trying to get Reed back. And the scene where he's telling them that he's going to fix their problems. And then the Human Torch is like, oh, the problems I have are not really problems. It gives my life meaning. And then there's the scene where Doom comes back after... after he helps Reed to find the way back to the other dimension. And then there's the scene where he gets killed by Doom. So he's in, like, a ton of scenes there. Almost every scene in the movie. Because he gets killed by Doom very near the end when Doom goes to the other dimension. And I believe it was said that last scene lasts only 8 minutes in the other dimension, which is the whole final third act climax of the movie. So
you keep getting ahead to like this second and third act. We still have to destroy this fucking first act.
I know there's still other stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Truly terrible.
But I would think he was in at least like, well, this is a 90-minute movie, right?
Hour 40.
Okay. Well, probably 10 minutes or credits or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's in probably at least 2/3 of the movie, maybe more. He's in almost every scene.
Yeah. Oh, also, I realized I forgot a couple nitpicky parts from the early part of the movie. When Reed Richards is 10 and gets laughed out of, like, he gets laughed at by his classmates, the teacher fails him on the assignment. Like, what third grader fails an assignment?
You're being too ambitious.
Yeah, and then one of the kids in the class, like, says, like, beam me up, Scotty, or something like that.
Oh, when he was spacing out, he said that?
Yeah, and it's like, what? Like, no modern 10-year-old knows what that reference is.
Yeah, it's like, not like Star Trek is still on TV or anything.
Yeah, the only way they could have heard of that is from Family Guy.
Like, that's sad.
Like, that's it. Yeah, this is so weird.
Did they use that in the new Star Trek movies?
Yeah, they must have, but, like, it's not like they only make it because it's from the other thing.
Yeah, I think that's a reference for the older fans, not for the 10-year-olds.
Exactly. Like, they hear people in the crowd laugh, but they won't know why.
To be fair, that scene was set in 2007, but again, 2007 was not exactly the peak of Star Trek mania. That was the most dead period
of
Star Trek.
The reboot hadn't even come out at that point.
Right. That was like between Nemesis or Insurrector, whatever the last one was, and the reboot. When there was nothing being produced. I don't think the TV show Enterprise was even on at that point.
No. I seriously doubt Reed Richards or anyone in that class would have been watching OG Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, I guess Reed is the most likely, but the kid next to him is just some random kid.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
And why did they have so many N64s for it being 2007? Like, and how do you power a space teleporter off of N64s? anyway.
I think PS2s were still selling new at that point in stores. But even then, you could have just gotten a PS1 or something. I don't know. There's some some severe plausibility to this movie that you have to deny. Alright, so are we done covering the school part? The high school, have we finished that?
Oh, the science fair? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so then they have the scene where Reed is like, he goes, visits the Baxter Institute, and he's like, wow, this is great, this is for me, and then it shows like Ben Grimm in the background just kind of watching him go off, and then like Ben Grimm just disappears for 20-30 minutes of the movie, and you don't know what he's doing or what happens.
Yeah. I think it's assumed he's still working at like the junkyard or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it's like if they gave us a scene that showed that like showed like, oh, I hate where I am, I'm stuck doing the same old thing, I want to be a part of something special, or like doing something with my life, then like you can justify like the scene where Reed is like, hey, Ben, I want you to help me with my teleporter thing and go to another planet. But he just like invites him up just because. Because like if you go by the movie's logic, that's why. Reed just asks him to just because. Or Ben agrees to just because.
Why are they even friends when one of them is like a genius and the other one is retarded? All they explained was that Ben was like impressed by Reed or something. But it's assumed that Ben is like only impressed because he's an idiot who can't tell fantasy from reality, right? I mean, they don't exactly make it seem like this is some guy you want to be impressing.
Exactly.
So anyway, Ben is totally unreliable. They show him at the science fair. That's the only thing he does before he becomes the thing, and he doesn't even bring the model car for no unexplained reason. And then he disappears for a long period of time. He isn't helpful at all on actually building this spaceship. They could have had him like doing manual labor in there on like helping to, you know, construct the pod to take them to the next dimension or whatever. They don't show him do anything. And then he shows up out of nowhere after Reed calls him when he's drunk. And I guess Ben is just really gullible and he'll just go along with anything. But it's weird. It's,
like, I can't just, like, I want to bring up after we finish dissecting the movie for, like, which character got, like, the biggest shaft. Like, you can argue any character doesn't get a character arc. But I think the Thing, especially gets trashed.
He's, like, the best character in the comics, you know? Like, everybody loves the Thing. But here, he is terrible.
He barely speaks. He barely has a personality. He's just very, like, defeated.
Yeah. And then, I guess, after they write off the Thing, do they introduce Doom next, or Torch?
Well, Sue Storm's there, I think.
Okay,
yeah,
Sue
I think
next.
Doom gets introduced first, but Sue is there. Oh no, we missed the cringe, the George Lucas-esque love dialogue.
Oh yes,
so there's a scene. Oh, there's
library.
A couple scenes, but
the scene where he's like awkwardly hitting on her at the library, and he's like, "What music you listening to?"
Yeah, no. It's not only that. He says that. Well, he first shows her 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, like it's like a very unknown book. Like, even like norm fags know what that is. And then he asks her what music she's listening to, and she says like some vague hipster. And then he flat out asks her, "Do you like music?" He asks her, do you like music? Like, Reed Richards is presented as like the ultimate beta in this movie.
Well, after Ben Grimm.
What? No, Ben Grimm just like submissive. Reed Richards is just like, he's just like he's just a fedora and a neck beard away.
Well, yeah, and then she's like, it helps me with the patterns, which is supposed to be, I guess, foreshadowing for later on when she has to find Reed and she listens to music.
It's, what?
Well, isn't the point of that scene to set up later on when she's finding Reed and she asks them to put on music and they're all like, why do you want music?
No, it sets up a scene where, Sue Storm is like trying to find Reed after he escaped.
Right.
And she's like, I need music to concentrate.
Yeah. And, that scene, I don't understand why she wanted to find Reed. Like,
she didn't.
Like, why did she go along with this? And why did Reed go along with opening up the portal to the other dimension?
Because they were told to. Reed had no interest in any of this. Like, he just wants to build shit. That's all he wants to do.
It seems to me like they're much too compliant with the government, which is, like, semi-implied to be evil, but they're also, like, working for them. It doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, there's so many fucking plot holes and just poor characterization and just no motivation. It just, none of it makes sense. It's just like, there's like no single thing you can really point at that just is completely, that was like the absolute worst. This is all off. Ew. So they get to the Baxter Institute and, they bring in Victor Von Doom, who actually did retain his original name, which yeah. I think initially in the Trank version, he was going to get a name change.
Well, they also said he's from Latveria in this, which is his country in the comic books as well.
Oh, did they keep that or did they change it?
Yeah, there is one scene where they show the word Latveria.
Okay, so to how they introduce him is...
I think that they must have had in the original version him being German, and they didn't change the Human Torch's lines where he called him Hitler and... You know, like, and then he says, I'm not German or whatever. Like, that's just like an awkward rewrite where they didn't want to get rid of the Human Torch's so-called funny dialogue. But they had changed him back to being Victor Von Doom from Latveria. So they just added in like an awkward comeback.
That was how they were going to say, I'm not German. I'm from the whatever country that is. But they just cut it off at, I'm not German.
Right. So it just doesn't work. That scene is weird.
It just comes off as incredibly casually racist.
Yeah.
So how they introduce Victor Von Doom is Sue Storm's dad is like, he's like, we need to get this guy who on the project. And so he opens this like studio apartment and it's completely dark in the room except for Von Doom's four monitors, one of which has Grand Theft Auto playing. And he's just like looking at the sheet. He just looks like a master hacker. He has like a really like poorly grown beard. It just looks like complete shit. And Sue Storm's dad is like, Victor. He's like, nah, man. And Sue Storm's dad is like, Victor, you're coming with me. And he's like, alright. Like, it's just like, it's just socially done.
Yes.
And just like again, the Elite Haxor characterization is so cliche and boring. So why do they even bother including him in the film if you're gonna treat him like that?
I don't know. Maybe they should have just done Annihilus.
Yeah. So an earlier, cringe remark is, Doom just says, like, random, like, anarchist, anti-democracy bullshit, like, anti-capitalism stuff. He'll just make references to that. And then, like, there's one point where Susan Storm is just like, oh, Dr. Doom over there. And just, like, they pull shit like that. That is, like, the worst thing you can do. Like, it's not even clever. It's just lazy.
And then there was the line Victor had where he said, there is no Victor, there is only Doom.
Yeah, oh, that's later in the film. That is, like, I was crying during that. It was so good.
the script is just so cliche. It's amazing.
Yeah, so around this point, they kind of set up that there's a love triangle between Sue, Reed, and Victor, but... There's, like, next to nothing that establishes that, which is annoying.
I think this is one of those scenes where you're supposed to just assume, like, that because there's a hot white girl, everyone wants to fuck her.
Yeah. Like, there's no setup or motivation for any of it. Like, there's that one scene with Reed and Sue that we talked about earlier, and that's it. Like, it never comes back up again.
The one where they're laughing and then Victor is, like, staring in there and he's like, you guys should be working. Is, I guess, like, the one scene that shows that Victor is, I guess, jealous. And then later on when he says something like, there could have been a future where you were mine or something. Like, it's only shown in maybe two or three lines that he has a thing for Sue. Which, it seems like maybe this was added in by, you know, studio directives who wanted to add a love triangle or something. In hopes that more women would watch the movie or whatever. But I can't see anyone wanting to see this movie for that pathetic little sliver of a plot.
Yeah, it's just, like, they imply, like, there's a bunch of things that are implied but aren't shown. Like, this movie, how I described this to my friend after we watched it, is instead of show and tell, it's tell not show. And even then, they don't tell you much. Like... It's just like, so it's not show and it's not tell, it's just fucking nothing. So I think this is, I think we've covered enough of the, it's like, this is only touched on the first 20 minutes primarily. So around the 21 minute mark is when, Johnny Storm comes in finally.
And he's like racing the cars.
Yeah. And sorry, I accidentally popped on my computer. Yeah. So we have like the stereotypical drag race scene, which, my friend, who I saw the movie with is like, he's a bit of a social justice warrior. And he just like pointed out like, oh, of course we're showing the black male lead as like a never do, like a fringes of society does a bunch of like bad, isn't responsible and shit like that.
Well, it's worth noting that the Human Torch in the comic books is white and he also likes cars.
Yeah, well, isn't this like a quasi retread of a scene in one of the Fantastic Four movies?
I haven't seen the first Fantastic Four movie since it came out.
I know there's like a motocross scene or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that he is into cars in that because that is just like a constant about his character. But, you know, since they decided to recast him as being black and also made him seem like kind of an asshole, it makes it seem like they're like, you know, implying bad things about black people or whatever. So they should have just kept him white and avoided, you know, being criticized for how bad the character was.
Yeah, like I think there was a motocross scene in either in one of the more recent live action ones. And that was like, oh, like he's edgy and extreme because he rides around in cars or like just he's reckless and shit. And it's just so bad. Like, even the scene is bad. Like, he just ends up getting into a car accident after 3 minutes. Like, it's not even a well-done car chase scene.
Oh, no.
It could be one thing if it was, like, a Fast and the Furious type thing. And, like, we're, like, now saying Fast and the Furious is, like, an example of, like, a good movie. Like, this is what this movie does. And so, Johnny Storm crashes his car and destroys it. And so he gets out of the hospital and Daddy's there. And his dad is like, you're in big trouble, mister. And Johnny Storm's like, I'll fix up the car and I'll be good to go. And his dad says, no, I'm not paying for the parts. You're going to have to earn the parts yourself by working in my lab. And Johnny Storm's like, oh no.
He says, I don't want to wear a lab coat or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, they try and give him, like, the angsty teenager angle, but it's not well done.
Yeah.
And it's just, one of the highlights of the movie is when he's in the Baxter Institute laboratory, he's, like, welding something together, and he has, like, a mask over his face, and of course it has fucking Fire Flames decals on it.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's all those, like, cringeworthy details that you... Like, just some it's examples of something a shitty movie would do.
Did you
like,
notice the fire
reference at you?
Fire flower in his car on the window?
No, what is that reference to?
Mario.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Hang from his mirror.
Yeah, it's just, well, I meant reference more about the comics.
Oh, well, I mean, they just include that because, you know, fire, Human Torch.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah, exactly.
They just wanted to, like, foreshadow ahead of time, this guy's going to be Human Torch.
Yeah.
So you don't just think, oh, what's with this random car chase, you know, just to give people a clue of who he is, because people probably wouldn't have expected this random black guy to be Human Torch.
Yeah.
So I guess the reason they give to explain why the Human Torch is black and Sue is white is... that when Reed is talking to her, he says something like, are you adopted? And she says, yes, I'm from Kosovo. I guess she was adopted like during the wars in the Balkans in the 90s or whatever. And then he's like, oh, you don't have an accent. And then she puts on like a really fake accent. And then they start laughing like it's the funniest thing ever. And then,
I don't remember that. Oh my God, that's fucking great.
And then Doom is like staring in there and like he's all pissed off. Maybe like, because she was doing a Latverian accent or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, I think it's just like they're trying to establish romantic tension with that. Like,
yes.
Her and Reed are getting along and then he's pissed. But there's no scene that suggests like Doom and her had chemistry other than Doom asks like when Sue's dad comes to him asking him to come back to the project. He's like, is Sue going to be there?
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
I think that they're just implying that Doom is some sort of, like, Gamergate creeper who can't interact with women and feels entitled to them. I think that that's what they're going for with his character. But they don't develop it well enough, and I'm kind of glad they didn't, because that would be really obnoxious to start seeing, like, explicit references to that kind of stuff in movies.
I
wish it would all just blow over, but, you know, it's been going on for, like, a year or two at this point, so it's pretty much known to everybody now that gamers are a bunch of sexist assholes, and that, you know, the whole anti-Gamergate, pro-Gamergate bullshit that it's just been around so long that I guess that it's even getting written into movies, kind of.
Well, see, I don't even think it's a Gamergate reference they're trying to go for. I think they're just going for, like, they're going for an even shittier cliche, which is, like, the, like, late 2000s anonymous, like, 4chan hacker type thing. Like, I think that's the angle they're trying to go for, which is, again, poorly done.
Well, I mean, what's the difference, honestly, is just a couple of years and the specific issues that they're focused on. 4chan has not changed all that much, really.
No, it really hasn't.
It's been around for, like, 10 years now.
Surprisingly. But yeah, so Doom, Reed, Sue, and Johnny are all in the lab. They're building this fucking teleportation device, which is coincidentally what Reed was working on in the first scene of the film. There's no real reason given to look at teleporting or, like, going to another world other than why not.
Yeah, they never explain what it is about the other world that Reed wants to teleport there for. Even though this is the main focus of the movie, is the whole teleporting to another world thing, there's no motive explained for anything that anybody is trying to do here. Yeah, the only people who have a motive for going there are the government, who want to use it for medical research, or they want to take the ores or something, you know?
Honestly, the government are the only characters in this movie that actually make sense. You can't justify the hero's actions, but you can justify the bad guys.
Well, I don't know if you can justify them, but at least you understand what they're trying to do. But the other characters,
if like four superhuman freaks came back to, like, if these people have powers we don't understand, I think we would naturally lock them up, like what happens to them.
Well, of course, I mean, if you look at what happened with the Ebola thing, the overreaction, the amount of quarantining that was done, and the potential for, you know, banning flights from Africa that was discussed by a lot of congressmen. Obviously, if these people did come back from another dimension and they were radioactive and they were catching on fire and stuff, they would not be allowed to interact with the general populace. They would be put in Guantanamo or something. So at least that aspect is sort of realistic, you know. But what I don't understand is why they felt the need to go along with it. Why they didn't just stay in their cells or whatever. Like, what does Ben Grimm have to gain here? It isn't like the Suicide Squad, where they explain that they're going along with it because they can get out of jail faster if they work for the government on these missions. Ben is just, like, taking in his friend for the government and killing dozens of people for the government, and there's no explanation given for why he's doing anything.
Just because. Just fucking because. Oh, my God. Where are we in the movie? So, yeah, so they're all working on this. They do, like, all these horrible, like, they have, like, the montage of rebuilding the device. So they do things like have the scene have the shot where Johnny Storm is wearing the flame mask over his face. Johnny Storm calls Von Doom Adolf for no reason. I think my favorite of all these, like, terrible, like, shots in this is there's a shot where Reed Richards takes a selfie of himself with the teleportation device.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, oh, I groaned in that.
I think I was just spacing out during that scene. They also mentioned taking pictures for Instagram when they were in the next dimension.
Yes, that was amazing. I hope Instagram paid... Actually, I hope they paid Instagram to use Instagram. Because they should have to fucking pay them for desecrating their product in such a way. So they eventually finish the teleportation device, which they have no reason to build. And then the military or some government it's people who run the Baxter Corporation come in and are like, excellent work. Now we have to get NASA involved and we'll test the thing out, which is very logical. Like, you would probably want, if you're going to another planet or some universe or something, wouldn't you want to send astronauts?
Isn't this when Doom gets all pissed off?
Yeah, so Doom gets pissed off for generally no reason. And it's like, you want a drink? And Reed's like, oh, I don't drink. Oh, liquor inebriates or, like, distorts the mind or something. And then immediately cuts to Doom, Reed, and Johnny Storm drinking out of, like, the tiniest flask I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And for some reason, they do not include Sue, maybe because she's too close to her father who works for the company. I don't know. But she does not even go to the other dimension with them.
Like, my friend is like, well, you can infer they don't trust her because she's more willing to work with the Baxter people. But I'm pretty sure it's just because they just don't want to get her involved. Like, we missed the we only saw a bit of their drunk conversation. We missed the conversation where they all talked about how they wanted to fuck Sue or something like that. Like, the terrible misogynistic talk that they probably had.
I'm probably including her brother.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's not blood related.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so then Doom he's drunk and he's like, he even talks kind of slurred, honestly.
They were trying to make him seem drunk, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you know, when we went to the moon, we didn't thank the scientists, we thanked the astronauts. And it's just like, we know Neil Armstrong's name, but we don't know the scientist who, like, made the rocket. And, like, Reed is like, they decide, like, they want to go to the other dimension because they want credit. Like, there's nothing in any of their, like, motivation or characterization that suggests, like, that they care about the limelight, that they care about, like, attention.
Yeah, up to then, they only seem to care about science, and then all of a sudden, they're publicity whores.
Yeah, Johnny just, like, wants to do his own thing. He wants to do the opposite of what his dad does. So by participating in the experiment, he would be doing what his dad would want, hypothetically, because it would be advancing the project. Reed just wants to do science shit. A scientist would know that someone without proper training should not go to space. And then Von Doom just is like, fuck the free world. And he doesn't really have a reason to be so anti-astronaut.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Doom, yeah, he's like some sort of pseudo-anarchist or something, and he keeps saying that the Americans and the Westerners have destroyed the Earth, and now they're going to go to this next dimension and destroy it. Well, if he's so concerned about this, then why did he want to go to this other dimension to begin with when he's also a human being? You know, it doesn't make much sense to me why someone who is so concerned about the effect of humans on other dimensions would be interested in going to another dimension and advancing this project for a major corporation to begin with, you know, especially after he tried to previously burn it down, why he would help to advance it and complete it and participate in it firsthand now. None of it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to anyone, let's be clear.
I know. Yeah.
So the fact that they decide this while they're drunk.
Yeah, and that's the whole basis of the movie, is what happens because they're drunk.
Yeah. The fact that they just decide this when they're drunk, I can't get over how stupid that is. They don't get Sue involved. It's just like how they just set that up in the movie is just fucking ridiculous. So they finally decide to go to the other side for generally no reason. And they go to the other planet. They do the Instagram bit. Oh, they don't forget that they bring the American flag with them to plant.
Did they really do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget which one of them holds it in. He like holds it inside with him in the prompter ring. Oh, we forgot to mention that during this drunken haze, Ben Grimm calls up Ben Grimm gets called up by Reed and is like, yo, we started this together, we're gonna finish it together.
Yes.
And is just like, and just like drunkenly explains it to him, and like Ben Grimm's asleep and he's just like, okay, I guess I'll teleport to another fucking universe.
Yeah.
Presumably someone would want to go to the other side of the universe. Like he just like reacts to it and like as if like it's just like, hey, you wanna go to this convenience store and get a pack of smokes. Like it's just ridiculous. So yeah, so they get to the other planet. The four of them are on the other planet. Again, Sue is not there at all.
She's like watching it on a monitor as it happens.
Yeah, she eventually, like, there's like a couple dozen people in the room just looking over ominous, like, data. And like, this is at, like, in the middle of the night. Like, I don't know why the scientists are still there.
Yeah, this isn't explained at all. They go in there and they teleport, and somehow nobody notices
that they teleport. No one notices that they brought in someone who is, like, who presumably does not have credentials to get in the building.
Well, they actually showed that Reed, like, invited the guy in. They showed, like, the doorman allowing Ben in, and Reed saying, like, oh, this guy's with me, let him in.
Oh, they did at least have that scene. Well, still, it's like, wouldn't you think that would be highly classified?
Yeah, that's what I don't get, is because Reed is, like, he's just a scientist there. He doesn't run the building. He wouldn't be in charge of security, and especially not, like, at 11 at night, when this is supposed to be, like, under government control now, after they've taken over the project. You would think they would have some guards there or something, you know, that they would be concerned about these guys misusing it after Victor gave them such a hard time for taking it over right to their face. You'd think they would be like, maybe this guy's going to try to do it himself. But nobody seems to care. Nobody's, like, paying attention at all. Even though these are, like, some hyper-competent scientists who are able to build a portal to the next dimension, they can't keep track of who's going in and out of their building, what they're doing in there. There's apparently no security cameras anywhere. They're completely baffling.
Yeah, it's so fun. And to be clear, like, we're, like, maybe 30, 40 minutes into the movie at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, they still haven't gotten their powers. So they go to the other planet. They plant the flag, they take their Instagrams, and then Reed just decides, like, hey, let's go down there. And just, like for no reason. Like, their whole point was just, like, they just wanted to be the first ones there. But then they just decide, hey, let's just go fuck around, even though it's not safe. And even, like, Johnny Storm's like, nah, man, I'm not going down there.
Yeah, that was hilarious. So basically, there's, like, all this green ooze that starts coming out of the ground, and it kills Victor, or so they think, and there's no reason why they went down there to this, like, dangerous radioactive area that's given at all. They just decide to, like, start drunkenly wandering around the next dimension, and then one of them gets killed because of it, or so they think, and then they just leave the guy there and take off running.
Yeah. No, like, well, first of all, fucking Doom puts his hand in the goo. Why would you do that? Like, wouldn't you think Reed would be like, hey, like, they're all scientists, technically. Well, Grimm isn't, but Doom is. So you think, like, hey, why don't we, like, have this vial and put the goo in there? But no, he just fucking goes hand first into it. And then that just re-triggers, like, all this, like, madness. Like, this action scene that isn't particularly tense.
It's also worth noting, there hasn't been a man on the moon in, like, 40 years. They don't even send people to these places anymore because robots can just do it all, you know?
Well, like, also the moon landing didn't happen, but we'll ignore that detail for the sake of the film.
Yeah, well, anyway,
side tangent. So my friend works
They
would have
used
local,
Herbie, you know?
Yeah. So for a brief side tangent, my friend works at a local bookstore by our apartment, and there's this guy who comes in, and he apparently worked for NASA for 20 years. He also claims to have worked on the Manhattan Project somehow. Like, he's
how old is he?
He's around 80. Like, he's over 80. So, like, apparently the time frames line up somehow.
Like, he would have been like 15 or something when the Manhattan Project was happening.
Yeah, I don't know how the time frame works out. Actually, I've linked to a couple of lectures he did.
Wait, is this legit?
Anyway, but he worked for NASA, and he claims that they didn't do the moon landing, or the moon landing was faked and shit like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm aware of the moon truther.
Whenever he comes, or he calls into the store, whenever he calls the store, he never says his name because he thinks he's being tracked and doesn't want people to find out where he lives.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll come into the store. When he comes into the store, sometimes he'll come in with a disguise on.
Is this guy real?
Yeah, this is a real person.
Where is this?
This is in a shout out to Baldface Books in Dover, New Hampshire. You can run into a creepy weirdo who supposedly worked on the Manhattan Project and NASA.
Have you met him, or your friend just told you?
My friend works there. There's also a homeless guy who periodically goes to the store. He gave my friend, like, I think, like, two literal buckets full of unopened beer.
Oh, God, when you said buckets, literally buckets, my mind went somewhere else.
I wasn't even trying to refer to that. They were honestly buckets. And they were completely filled with, like, Coors Light and Bud Light Lime and shit like that. But all the beers ended up being expired by, like, over a year.
Was he trying to poison you? Or?
No, he just found them and was just trying to be nice to the bookstore owner. Oh. And my friend ended up with them, my roommate ended up with them, so they were in our house.
Did anyone drink them?
Yeah, they brought them to a keg to a party, and I guess they were all really disgusting, but everyone was too drunk already, so no one really noticed. So anyway, so we were on faked moon landings. So as, like, the panic on the other planet, which isn't really described if it's, like, another planet, an alternate dimension or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not really explained.
I think that the designation is Planet Zero, officially. But, yeah, it seems like it's another dimension. It's definitely not the moon like it was, or I think, in the comics. I mean, they were trying to beat the Russian to space, you know, in the original Origin. But, of course, that's very dated. It's always difficult for them to do the FF Origin because it's such a Cold War relic. So they had to totally change it. And the new version is just doesn't make any sense.
Like, the new version could have been okay. Like, I think this version's better than the space station thing, I guess, kind of. I remember, I think in the 2000s Fantastic Four, like, they're on a space station. It's just the five of them, and they get hit. Like, a space station is, like, a ridiculous, like, that's really ridiculous. Like, having this teleporter thing. Like, if they had the teleporter, if they used a teleporter mechanic, but had Sue Storm with them too, I think that would have worked. I don't know, like, why they keep insisting that Doctor Doom is what was also a part of the Fantastic Four's origin story.
Yeah, okay, so I don't think anything about the other dimension works. It's just a bunch of rocks with some green CGI. Like, I don't think that's...
Oh, it's really atrocious CGI, by the way.
I know, it looks so fake. It looks like a first generation of 3D video games, you know? Like, it's really poor, and I don't think it would have worked even if Sue was there, because it's just so stupid.
Well, it would have been less stupid, at least.
Yeah, so, okay, I guess let's explain how Sue gets her powers then. So they come back after they leave Victor, after Reed, like, drops him for no explained reason. I don't know why he couldn't, like, stretch out his arm and keep him or something, since he had just been radiated too, but he drops his Victor, and then they just take off and leave, and then they get back to the next, dimension, back to Earth. And then Sue is there because she noticed it on the computer, and she, like, goes running in for some reason, I guess, and she gets, like, hit by cosmic radiation from the machine or something and becomes invisible, right?
Yeah.
So it's not entirely clear, like, why the radiation from the other dimension came with them, or why it didn't affect all the other people in the building, or what, but she gets affected in, like, a really haphazard way.
Yeah, like, that is, it makes no sense. She just gets hit with, like, after effect or something.
Yeah.
It's not really explained.
Nothing is.
And
then after that, they fall asleep, right? And then
they all, like, pass out, and then they wake up in a military base where they're being experimented on.
Yes.
Which, I want to say, like, there are only two good scenes in this movie. This is one of the good scenes where, like, the Fantastic Four is being tortured because they're being, like, testing, like, their powers are being tested and shit. Like, that was so fucked up. You would never see that in a Marvel movie done like that. It was fucking dark. Like, that's why, like, when they say, like, the David Cronenberg elements, I think that actually could have been a cool Fantastic Four movie in that idea, by just making, like, by portraying the Fantastic Four as, like, like they're treated as lab rats or like lab experiments. I think that could have been really cool, but they just took out the majority of those elements and replaced it with generic slop.
So I couldn't accept the scene for a few reasons. First off, there is what you brought up about how it seems like the Venture Brothers.
They initially show the Human Torch, he's just like writhing in pain, exactly how he's showing them the fucking Venture Brothers, which is hilarious.
Yes, I couldn't take it seriously because I kept thinking like, okay, even the Venture Brothers does FF better than this movie. And then also because the guys behind me kept laughing whenever they showed Reed like stretching out his arms a whole bunch. And then I thought, well, you know, this does look stupid. You know, like how is the average audience going to react to such a goofy power? They never should have done this in live action to begin with. It's just the FF is just such a cartoony thing to do, like a grim and gritty like movie with these absurd powers. I don't know if it can work. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's a good fit because they're always, you know, like one of the most like goofy, fun kind of comic book characters, you know, like very much Stan Lee ridiculous humor. Like they don't seem to me like they're the kind of characters you can really do like an ultra gritty take on, other than maybe The Thing, because The Thing is always portrayed as being tragic that he's the Thing and that he wants to be normal again. But even that, which could have been the one area where they could have done it well and like had some real drama about it, I don't think it's handled well at all, because they only show him, after he wakes up, they show Reed go into the ventilation shaft. He escapes, like, immediately, after he's asking, like, where are my friends or whatever, and then they won't answer him, and they sedate him, and then I guess they just leave him alone and let him do his own thing at some point, which they keep doing. First they let him just like teleport to the other dimension, then they let him escape. They have like the worst security ever. But then he goes into the ventilation and he sees the other guys in their rooms, and I don't understand this, but he just takes off and runs away for a long time. And he could have easily opened the ventilation shafts because they were all yelling at him like, please let us out and let us escape. He could have opened the shaft, pulled them up into there with him, and, you know, they could have all gotten away. But instead, because he was a dick, they all, like, decide to hold out against him, and he ends up getting captured by them, and they all have to go back to the other universe and fight Dr. Doom. Now, I guess this is only their... as a contrivance to drag out the plot a little. But he doesn't even really do anything after he escapes. You know, he just kind of runs around South America for some reason. Like, it's not even clear why he needed to escape for the plot to advance to begin with.
Yeah, it's...
Like, did anything significant happen with him when he was out there? I don't recall
that. No.
And it was, like, a while, too. There was a time skip in there. I'm not sure how long.
Yeah, so, like, the time skip, like, The Thing just agrees to go along with the military because they'll find him a cure, but they don't find him a cure, and they just, like, use him as, like, a military weapon. And then Johnny Storm and the Invisible Woman just, like, they're just harnessing their powers and practicing it under the watch of their dad. And I'm really disturbed by the fact that Reed Richards was able to escape. Like, he was heavily sedated and drugged. He didn't know what his powers, they had powers. Like, he didn't understand they had powers. He didn't know how to use them. He has little to no familiarity with his powers. How is he going to be able to manipulate stretching and stuff like that?
And how is he going to know his way around this building? He's in, like, some military installation he's never been
in. Yeah, he just, like, enters the like, grates as if, like, he's a master infiltrator or something like that. And then the military base is heavily guarded, so there's no way he could have just slipped out.
Yeah, it's... So
that... And, like, he's smart, but he just, like, escapes their clutches, and he escapes them for a year.
And how is it that Sue, who supposedly doesn't want to go along with this, is not able to escape when her power is that she can become invisible? How could they see her as... she would be able to escape easily.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And yet, Reed escapes immediately, even though there's nothing about his power that would give him the ability to do it immediately while under drugs and having just woken up where he should be, like, heavily guarded. And, you know, it just does not make sense that he would sound.
Actually, one thing that I haven't brought up that my friend kept pointing this out to me throughout the movie. So the head military guy, like the guy who's like, "Oh, we're going to call NASA and stuff like that." That guy is always chewing. Whatever scene he's in, he's literally chewing all the time.
Yeah, like, that's true.
He's literally chewing on the fucking scenery. It makes no sense.
I guess that they thought that's like something that a real hardcore general does, is he chews tobacco.
Like twiddling the fingers together like Mr. Burns is too blatant. Let's just have him chew. That's subtle, right? It's ridiculous. So Reed Richards is hiding out in some Latin America, South American country. And he goes to this, one of the weird ancillary explanation scenes they decided to keep in is he goes to this junkyard for parts, or it shows this guy going to a junkyard for parts. And then he gets a part, he negotiates for the part, which takes way too long. There's a neat scene where he, fixes up the register. That was kind of clever. It could have been clever in a good movie. And then he goes into the car, and then his face morphs into the real Reed Richards. And so not only can he face morph, which isn't in the, can he face morph in the comics?
No.
Yeah, I think that's kind of strong to suggest he can actually face morph. And also, he face morphed into a brown person.
Yeah, I don't even remember anything that happened when he was in South America, because it was also irrelevant to the plot.
It was so irrelevant, generic, too. There's nothing... it didn't even explain what he was doing. He was just, trying to build a teleportation device. But, why did he think it was a good idea to go over there? He was just maybe that'll work. He just... guessed. He didn't know.
I don't even get why he would want to go back to that other dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would he want to go to begin with.
Yeah, someone died there.
Yeah. They seem to have this delusion that if they go back, it's going to cure their powers. Drinking the next morning is going to cure your hangover, you know? This is the level of thinking that goes into these characters' plots, you know? They all seem drunk the whole time with their level of depth that's put into their thought.
Yeah. So eventually they somehow find... Sue finds Reed Richards because he's using, his code word to infiltrate their computers is related to 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So, hey, it has a payoff.
Oh, this scene was just terrible.
Yeah, where it's Sue wants to find me or something like that. And that's when she's like, I need to concentrate. I need to put music on.
Yeah.
It's, so bad.
This is, obviously an attempt to tie back to the library scene earlier, but it doesn't work. I mean, I don't know why they had to have Sue track him down to begin with. I don't understand why they wanted Reed back. I mean, is it really true that when Reed comes back, he says there's, two or three things it'll take to fix, and it'll take 15 minutes or something? It's supposedly some really easy fix. But nobody but Reed could do it because Reed is the smartest guy on Earth or whatever. But weren't these guys already working on this program before the Fantastic Four came along? I mean, isn't that what they got recruited to do? Because they just happened to be working on the same thing? I don't think it was ever really fully explained what Baxter Corporation was doing before Reed came on. But I assume it was that they would have some personnel who could take over after Reed disappeared. I mean, if it took 2 years or whatever to find Reed, and it was just 15 minutes of code fixes that needed to be done, I really doubt that Reed's understanding is that much greater than theirs that they couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's just so no sense. So they track down Reed, and they send the thing to fight him, and they, fight for 40 seconds, and then Reed gets captured.
Yes. The thing headbutts him.
And that's it.
Yes. And the thing is, really pissed off at Reed because...
They didn't even play that up. He wasn't even that angry. He says, one line.
Yeah.
And that's it. They could have made it, a really long, cool fight, but they didn't bother. They just headbutted him, and that was it.
Yeah.
Reed goes back to the facility, and they're like, hey, we finished the teleporter. So, they already did what he was trying to do. And then they use the teleporter and bring back Doom... And, like, Doom's just, like, in fucking, like, Han Solo, where he's in Carbonite, basically. And, like, they somehow find him. Oh, no, well, so
he was, like, wandering through the desert.
They finish the device, and they send humans over. And the humans abort their mission because they find this body, and they just immediately decide to bring him back.
Yeah, so somehow Doom has been there for, I think it was, like, a year or two in the time skip. And there's no real reason why Doom is alive. I don't know if they think that, like, time goes at a different pace in this other dimension, or if there's food or water there, or if he's been transformed into an energy being that doesn't need sustenance. There's no explanation at all as to how Doom survived, but he, like, immediately collapses after being found, and he's had, like, all this suit that he was wearing meld to his body and somehow survived it, and all the radiation and being in this world that's apparently only rocks and green CGI. So it's like, it's not clear at all why he's alive or why he has powers or anything. But then he comes to the other dimension, and I guess he's like laying on a table or whatever, right? And then he, you know, goes nuts on everybody, and he kills Franklin.
Yep.
And then he goes back to the other dimension again, right? And then they fight, and then it's over.
Exactly. Well, to go a little bit more in-depth into it. So Doom just comes back, and he's just like, I'm angry at the world. And he just, like, melts people's faces off.
Yeah.
Which, that's the other good scene to me, is him leaving the facility. Like, he's just wiping people's heads off. Blood fucking everywhere. It was really cool. And then he eventually goes to not Earth. And then because of that, he just, like, a black hole unleashes. So the rest of Fantastic Four the Fantastic Four decides to go to the other planet to stop it. Like, and there's no real reason other than just, like, oh, I guess we should do this. So they go into the teleporter and do it. And, so they fight Doom, they get their asses handed to them for 2 minutes, and then Reed gives them a friendship speech that, and then somehow they work together, even though, like, Reed probably didn't even know what Sue or Johnny's powers were, because he didn't see them when he escaped. So he's somehow able to understand how all their powers work, and they work together as a, like, they work together and defeat Doom. And this, like, happens in, like, a 6 to 8 minute span.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the only real, like, action scene in the movie, other than, I guess, them getting the powers.
They barely use their powers.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only time they really use their powers.
It's worth noting that the stuff you posted on the Skype chat says that there were some other action scenes here that got cut, like Ben actually taking out some terrorists or whatever when he was working for the government.
So there's a scene in the trailer where Ben jumps out of a fucking plane. Like, it looks really cool. So that scene isn't in the movie. They only included that in the trailer because that was a finished effect shot. But everything else pertaining to that scene was not, the VFX wasn't completed. So they didn't bother finishing it.
Yeah. I wonder what this Blu-ray is going to be like for this, you know, the deleted scenes and stuff. Do you think
they're not going to complete the footage, probably.
So like, when I was watching Amazing Spider-Man 2 on Blu-ray yesterday, I watched the deleted scenes, and they've got some scenes, like, where they have a different version of Peter finding out about Gwen going to the airport, and they show, like, Spider-Man going across town, but it's, like, a CGI model, you know? I wonder if they might include something like that for the Fantastic Four Blu-ray, where it's, like, sort of like the unfinished effects for the deleted.
I mean, the thing is, so few people buy Blu-rays now, and especially, like, I don't think Fox wants to even acknowledge this movie, so I think they just want to get rid of it. They don't want to touch it.
Oh, so you think they won't even put a home video out for this?
Well, no, they will put a home video out, but it'll be a bare bones release.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the thing is, Jay Turner thinks that Fox is trying to kill home video. He says they stopped releasing Simpsons on DVD, and that X-Files got canceled.
Well, that's not because of Well, that's just because the home video market's dying. That isn't just because... That's not just Fox.
Well, he hates Fox, probably, so...
Well, he's just like, he wants the Simpsons DVDs because he's an autist. Like, if you, like, the recording those commentaries takes a lot of time and they're not cheap to do because you have to pay the talent to do them, to remaster and package the video.
Plus, like, the Simpsons seasons that people actually like have all long since come out, and now they're just releasing the current seasons, which only Jay Turner enjoys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, so, like, they have the Simpsons streaming site. It's cheaper for them just, it's cheaper, it's better for the consumer, and it's better for Fox for them just to throw it off air.
Oh, is there an official Simpsons site, like the South Park site, where you can watch episode?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's commercially supported. But yeah, that's why they stopped doing the DVDs, partly because they have that.
Yeah, and well, anyway, I guess with Fantastic Four, they'll probably include something like it. But the thing is, with how bad the relationship is with the guy who did the earlier scenes, you know, maybe they'll just try to disown everything that has to do with him. Like, they won't even get him to do a director's commentary or anything.
Yeah, oh, no, I would be surprised. Unless, like, even if it was contractually obligated, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't even make him do it.
So this guy's career must be ruined, right? Because he was taken off the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, he was lined up to do the Han Solo movie, and he's off the project. Well, there is a lot of noise. Like, there's a lot of noise that says Trank, the director, Josh Trank, is responsible. There's a lot of noise that suggests Fox is responsible. Frankly, I think they're both equally responsible for this mess.
Yeah, me too.
Like, if Fox had let Trank do his vision and not super, like, panicked and reshot a bunch of stuff or, like, said no to a lot of his ideas... Like, I think a Trank, like, did you see Chronicle?
No.
So, that was his first, well, that's his only movie before this. So, Chronicle,
I saw that you posted in the chat that this was supposed to be set in the same universe as Chronicle originally.
Yeah, it's supposed to be set in the same universe as X-Men, but they took out acknowledgments to both.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. They don't want to distance it from their other franchises, so they don't bring those down along with it.
Exactly. So, Chronicle is essentially a found footage film where three teenagers get powers, and then the last third of the film is basically a ripoff of Akira.
Oh.
Like, one of the guys gets, like, the one who goes rogue gets telekinesis powers.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so, and just mind melds people. So if, like, they had let that guy do a David Cronenberg-esque superhero film with, like, the scenes like Doom fucking shit up and the scene where they're all being tortured, like, if they had framed it kind of like these guys are experiments and then they realize they're being manipulated and used by the government and rebelled to escape, and then, like, that could have been a really cool movie. And I assume a lot of the deleted scenes are like that, but presumably Fox panicked because they saw, oh, the MCU is all, like, they're all happy and stuff. Like, they're not doing gritty. And probably the test screening results came in that the movie was too experimental. So then Fox shoehorned a bunch of stuff in and, like, lightened a lot of his ideas.
I find it weird, though, because Daredevil has just been released, which was very dark and very violent, and it was part of the MCU, I believe. And yet they're afraid to do that with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, well, I mean, a TV series is different than a $150 million movie that's trying to be a tentpole for a franchise.
Yeah, I guess there's also the PG-13 issue.
That too. Yeah, you couldn't make an R-rated Fantastic Four movie, of course.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that we're getting Deadpool at R. Like, that took them. Like, that's the main reason why that's a big part of why they didn't make the movie earlier, is because they didn't want to deal with a... PG, the third section of PG-13.
Yeah. But I don't think that they could have ever done this movie in that way and had it be PG-13.
Probably so not. Like, honestly, like, the torture scenes, I'm fairly surprised they got away with those.
Like, I think they really should have either gone in a different direction, or, you know, if this guy wanted to make a movie like this, just don't make it Fantastic Four, you know, make it Chronicle 2 or something.
Mm. Yeah, I think, like, that the idea was he made it more like a sequel that he wanted to make Chronicle 2, but Fox is like, hey, do Fantastic Four instead. So he did Chronicle 2, but with the Fantastic Four characters.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to try to make a big franchise out of this, which is what they're doing, you know, you can't just have each movie be about, you know, them being tortured or them, you know, having to adapt to their new powers or whatever. Eventually, they have to fight the Fantastic Four Rogues Gallery, which is generally incredibly goofy. You know, people like the Impossible Man, and generally, you can't really make it that dark. You know, even the previous movies kind of shied away from how ridiculous some of the Fantastic Four villains were. Like, they made Galactus into some sort of, like, cosmic cloud in the Fantastic Four 2 instead of the big guy wearing a purple dress with a goofy hat, you know?
I mean, what they could have done was just make, like, I mean, a lot of Marvel movies have done this before, but they could have just made, like, the government be, like, the main villain with, like, Doom as kind of, like, a side thing that they ultimately had to defeat. Uh-huh. And then, like, in the second one, they could have faced, like, the Rogues Gallery, and they could have made it more tolerable than the Cosmic Cloud. Like, it could have made it less shitty than that.
Well, I would hope so, but, you know, going by how this was, I think it's a good thing that they're probably never going to release the second one, even though they've got an official date.
Well, so they already, I mean, there's reports that they're already looking to do a sequel. I mean, they were saying they were going to do Amazing Spider-Man 3, but obviously that didn't happen.
Right, and Green Lantern had officially a release, announced sequels, and then they got canceled, and now they're going to release a reboot.
Yeah, a rumor that a lot of people are suggesting is, so Fox is looking to start an X-Men TV series.
Oh.
So what they could do is Marvel has to sign off on it. So Marvel could be like, hey guys, we'll let you make your X-Men TV series, but you have to give us Fantastic Four back.
Mm-hmm.
But considering how well Daredevil did, I think it's going to be like how Nickelodeon won't give up any of their properties anymore because after Doug was a success on Disney, because they just like, they don't want to see their thing be a success elsewhere.
Yeah.
They'd rather it rot in hell than someone else do well by it.
So how did the previous Fantastic Four movies do? It must have been reasonably well, right?
The first one made $50 million or so. I think opening weekend.
So twice as much as this. And yeah. How much about the second one?
Not as good. The second one made $300 million worldwide, which this movie will be lucky to see 200 probably.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, neither were critically acclaimed, that's for sure.
Yeah, but they got better reviews than this.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate those movies, but I saw them when I was, like, 11 and 14 years old, so...
Yeah, I didn't, like, love them. Like, I definitely, like, I didn't buy the DVD or anything. I thought they were oh, this is all right as a kid. Like, yeah. It's hard to hate something as a kid, I think, for a movie, but, like...
I mean, they were just, like, I mean, for the time, that's, like, before Iron Man and stuff. So, like,
yeah,
for
that's
the time,
pretty Dark Knight.
Yeah, for the time, they didn't seem bad to me, but... You know, probably if I went back and watched them, I doubt that the special effects have really aged that well. But they're probably still better than this.
Especially the thing suit.
I suspect they're still better than this, though, the special effects.
Some of the special effects in here aren't that bad.
Which
I mean,
did
they're,
you like?
They're leagues better than the one from 10 years ago.
Oh, really? Which ones did you like?
Honestly,
like the Invisible Woman?
Or what are you saying?
Which ones did you like the Human Torch Invisible Woman or the Thing?
I think the
or...
Thing doesn't look bad.
I know a lot of people hate the Thing because he's not wearing pants.
I don't like that. That's stupid. But I think otherwise he looks good. It looks better than an asshole in a rubber suit.
I guess the worst special effects of all, though, are the 1990s Roger Corman special effects. The CGI in the last section of that is really amazingly dated.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know, but yeah, so I don't see Fox giving up the rights for this. I don't know if they'll make a sequel, but they probably will reboot it down the line.
God, I hope not.
I think Fantastic Four would work better as a TV series.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've seen people say in their views of this, is that it seems like a pilot, because, you know, at the end, it seems like it's only really just begun, like, you didn't even really hardly watch a full story or anything.
A gritty Fantastic Four TV series, I would watch the shit out of that. Like, I still haven't seen Daredevil, but
oh, really?
It would be good. No, I haven't gotten around to it. It's on my list.
They're supposed to do another season of Daredevil next year.
With the Punisher, I heard.
Yes, and Bullseye.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anything was missed on us discussing this movie. We didn't discuss the final scene. So after they defeat Doom, you're in like a boardroom with the Baxter Corporation people, and they're like, "What do you want from like the Baxter Corporation's like, what do you guys want?" And Reed's just like, "I want a big building with scientists and money to myself." And yes. They're literally just like, "Okay."
Yeah, and then they go to the building, and then they talk about the name that they should have. Do you remember what the suggestions they had were? Because they were really terrible, but I can't recall what they were.
No, they were just brutal.
It was like Johnny Storm and his Torchettes or something. And then the thing like started beating him up, and I think. And then Reed said, "There are four of us, so it should be..." And then it went to the title card and it said Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
There might have been another suggestion in there, too. I can't remember what it was, but it was also something pretty bad.
So painful.
But there was, like... I think they were trying there in that last scene to show, like, the, like, kind of playful banter between Torch and Thing, which is, a big part of the comics and the old cartoons and stuff. But... It does not work because up to then, those characters had never interacted. They were only shown, going into the next dimension. That was the only other scene they had together and fighting Doom. And it didn't really seem like they didn't get along in either one of those scenes because I don't think they ever said anything to each other in either.
Mm. So a couple additional things that are missing from this movie. There is no post-credit scene, no mid credit scene.
I was grateful because I didn't want to stick around any longer.
Yeah, but it's still really shitty though.
Well,
oh man,
it's not like it would have been anything good.
So it looks
like
pretty much every media outlet has been forced to take off the Luke Skywalker picture.
Oh really?
That just leaked? Yeah, a couple outlets have been forced to take it off already.
Huh.
So that's pretty hilarious.
Hey, I got a message from Dustin finally.
Oh, there you go. Actually, we should post the image on Star Wars Ep 7 on Twitter.
All right, here's what he says. "Hey, John, are you still recording? I was out with a friend for dinner and got back from that." And then he sent me a message on Skype. He's taking a shower now. All right. Well, I guess we can wrap this up and then talk about psychopaths and then...
Yeah, there's still a little bit. We still got to talk about this. So there's no credit scene. There was no Stan Lee cameo. He apparently wasn't even approached.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, he was, like, out of the country or something. I don't know. But I'm guessing they didn't have time for that.
Yeah, which is really sad.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah.
It's usually the best part of this movie.
I think we talked about pretty much everything that's wrong about this movie. Is there anything about this movie that is actually done right? Do you want me to go through mine?
Okay.
So my friend and I spent like 10 minutes talking about like what were the only good things of the movie after we got out of it. So we could only come up with four things. So we came up with the Doom scene where he's escaping. That was fucking awesome. We liked the scene where the Fantastic Four was being experimented on. Like it's different for something you see in a superhero movie. Like, I mean, I guess you see that in the Hulk, but it's not as interesting or compelling. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie did a lot better than a Hulk movie. The Invisible Woman is not sexualized, which happened constantly in the mid-2000s Fantastic Four movies, and, like, it was cringeworthy. Like, it's not even from a social justice warrior perspective. It's just really shitty and distracting in the movie.
I do remember her being naked in the second one and then becoming invisible.
Yeah, they don't do any pandering shit like that, which is good.
Yes, she's reasonably attractive, but they don't overly obsess over it.
Exactly. It wasn't just Galba, so they didn't need to. And then, like, the casting itself, like, in theory, is a great idea. Like, Michael B. Jordan's a good actor, but he's not given anything to do. Kate Mara was great in The House of Cards, but she's given nothing to do. Miles Teller is, like, looks the part and kind of, like, could play like what they wanted from Reed Richards, but they just wrote it poorly. It's just like the cast like could have been good, but they just fucked it up. And then that's literally all we could come up with. There was nothing else that was redeemable about this movie.
I guess I would say the best character is probably Reed Richards, but that's only because he gets the most screen time. You know, no one else is developed at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go through. I want to go through each of the Fantastic Four and Doom's character arcs quickly. I just want to go through that, like their motivation and their character arc. So Reed Richards is a smart kid that's his smartness isn't recognized by others. His smartness is eventually recognized by Franklin Storm, and he goes, he just starts working on the teleportation device, which he had been working on as a kid, which he was really working on it just because he was smart. There was no, like, I was inspired by the astronauts and wanted to go to another dimension or some shit. Like, he just does it because he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the other planet after, because he is now fame hungry for no reason. And then his determination after he gets powers is he just wants to cure himself and his friends, which is basically immediately dropped once Doom comes in. And then he's just like, I guess we need to stop Doom now.
Yeah. So they go to the other dimension and they're supposed to find the cure there. And this doesn't happen. And then they leave the other dimension. And then they're like, give us a building. Like, they've moved on from the cure, and now they just want a building and a name. And then it's over.
Yeah.
So that's part of why I think it's so terrible is the ending.
Yeah, it's just, there's no, it's like, Reed Richards is just inconsistent and just has no real, like, he just becomes like a technology, like, head at the end for generally no reason. Like, just because that's what it was in the comic, so he has to be that.
Yeah.
For Invisible Woman, she just shows up and, like, she's, like, smart, like, she doesn't take people's shit. Like, she really has nothing to do in the movie other than be there and just be a token female. Like, she's there to, like, have, like, a loose love triangle, but not really. She's there to kind of be the voice of reason, but not really. Like, mostly it's Franklin Storm who's telling them what to do. Or is, like, their gatekeeper to the military people. Like, she has no character arc and, like, has nothing to do.
She doesn't really have any main plot. Like,
yeah, nothing at all.
I mean, no one does, really, except for Reed.
Yeah, the Thing is, like, he's just, like, submissive to Reed Richards. Then he becomes, he gets powers, and then he's submissive to the government. He's, like, briefly angry at Reed, but quickly gets over it for no reason. And he's just, like, hunky-dory at the end of the movie. And then Johnny Storm is, he's just in the lab because, like, he has daddy issues. He wants to do against the grain. He's only in the lab because he just wants to make money. He gets powers and, like, he just works for the government just because his dad doesn't want him to. And then, like, he just decides to just go along with the flow. Like, everything's just, like, go with the flow.
Yeah.
And then Doom is just, like, he's portrayed as, like, anti-establishment, like, a cyber hacker. And then he's, like, he just wants credit for some reason. Like, he just really wants credit. And then he dies. Then he doesn't die. And then he just wants to fuck over the world for some reason. Like, there isn't really any rejection or hatred that suggests he should feel like that other than the movie tells you so.
Yeah.
So, it's just, the movie is just a complete utter failure in pretty much every aspect imaginable. I really hope Fox loses a lot of money on this, and I hope they don't make another one again.